Hello and welcome to Keep On Cybertruckin', a podcast where Cybertruck owners share their experiences, talk about all things electric vehicles and technology. Chase is here with me. Hey, Chase, how you doing? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Will is not with us, but he should be back next week. We took about, 3 weeks off for the holidays. Mm-hmm. I just kind of wanted us to kind of just take a little bit of time, spend time with our families, and just kind of, you know, charge our batteries, so to speak. No pun intended. But you know, wanted to just welcome everybody back to the podcast, and we're back on it. We're going to be doing it as much as we can. The plan is to do it every week, but you know, I'm sure there's going to be times where we can't. So,
absolutely nothing happened this last 3 weeks. It's been really quiet.
No
Cybertruck related. No news.
We have been piled. We have a pile of things to talk about. So. But before we get into anything Cybertruck, before we get into anything technology, electric vehicles, or any of that, we have to mention the LA fires that are happening right now, which is very devastating. If you put on any type of news publication, whether that's something online or your local news, I'm sure people are talking about it. It's I believe, the biggest fire in LA County history. It's destroying a lot of homes and buildings, and it's just... it's really out of control. The winds obviously are contributing to it and causing a lot of this damage. Luckily, where I live in Southern California, I'm far enough away where it's not affecting me right now. But, you know, we're being affected by the heavy winds and power outages. But my condolences to everybody who has either lost somebody, because there has been some deaths, or has lost their homes, or has been affected in any way. I know some of the guys in my Cybertruck group that we talk in, and we talk every day, some of them have been affected. Evacuations have happened for some of them. Some of them are waiting for that evacuation notice because they could see the fires. They're sending pictures, and it's really scary stuff. So I just wanted to kind of mention that, because once again, I feel bad for everybody that's involved. So my thoughts and prayers are with everyone.
Yeah, 100%. Stay safe, and it's always better to be extra precautious than worrisome and regretful for staying too late, because we definitely have seen a lot of people in the last 48 hours that have stayed back and try to fight it with a fire hose or something. It's not worth it.
It's definitely something that, you know, you don't necessarily want to try to tackle on your own, but I totally get where people are coming from. You know, I'm not gonna lie, you know, they're feeling like their home is everything, and they don't want to leave. But
yeah,
there's, you know, we do want to talk about, there's some resources out there. I know Chase brought up this really good website that kind of keeps you in tune and what's happening with the fires as it's happening.
I was gonna say, there's actually breaking news. I got a text from anybody he's still in West LA. I just got a text that said Hollywood Hills with an exclamation point. You see right there, Sunset Fire that just sparked up within the last 15 minutes.
Yeah, you could see here. I mean, look, there's
it's 10 acres.
Yeah, right, so here. Here's Sunset Fire. So there's, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you know, 7 fires just, you know, in a very small area, if you really think about it. And, you know, the amount of damage that they're causing is just unbelievable. So this is a good resource for anybody who is wanting to, you know, kind of stay on top of it and watch it. And, you know, if you're concerned about it coming into your area, this is a good resource, which is watchduty.org. We also want to talk about some people that are out there making a difference. Let me pull that up real quick. But, you know,
especially because of the Cybertruck. I mean, we've talked about before how the Cybertruck has the bioweapon defense mode, which essentially, you know, locks off all the air from the cabin to go through the HEPA filter that's in the front. And this is a perfect example of the use case for that, is driving through a wildfire.
Exactly. And Nick Cho, if you guys want to follow him on X, it's Nick_Cho_LA. He's using his Cybertruck to make a positive difference. And, you know, I salute him. He's going out there to the first responders and bringing water and masks and different supplies for them. He was doing that all last night, and he's been doing it today. So kudos to you, Nick.
Oh, wow. Look at that air quality, 349.
Yeah.
I mean, and he's not even like in a heavy bit of smoke. That's another thing to keep in mind, is the air quality in LA is going to be very, very bad for the next, you know, week or so. So just be careful.
And it's bad all the time, unfortunately.
Yeah, worse.
But it's going to be a lot worse. And so, like I said, kudos to Nick for going out and doing all this. And I know there's a lot of others that are helping, but I wanted to give him a shout out just because it's relevant with the Cybertruck and our podcast and my channel. You know, and then also one thing that I wanted to point out was, you know, there's different companies that are willing to help as well. Planet Fitness put out a post stating every Planet Fitness in Los Angeles County is open to evacuated people in need of fresh water, showers, Wi-Fi, and a lounge. And so that's, you know, that's super cool. That's, you know, amazing that they're doing that to try to do their part. I know that we've talked about Rove charging station in Santa Ana. They're doing the same thing. They're opening up their doors, obviously, to anybody and anybody that needs any type of help to come in and use their facilities, charge their electric vehicles, because that's something too. Because of the power outages, there's been some superchargers or many superchargers in the LA area that aren't working right now. And so if you're in need of charging, that's something that Rove is doing as well. Come on down to Rove and they're, you know, their chargers are open, their facilities are open, and they're there to help. So once again, my condolences to everybody, and my thoughts and prayers are with everybody. And so I wanted to just kind of touch base on that, because I think it's a very sad thing.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything about, like, as far as efforts for support or any kind of donations to be sent anywhere. But yeah, definitely keep an eye out, because I'm sure there's going to be something.
I'm sure the Red Cross is going to be doing something, and there's going to be a lot of different organizations offering some type of assistance and ways for you to get involved. So yeah, definitely. I'm going to keep my eyes open for that. I was thinking about that actually before we went on there, and, and I'm sure everybody else, our audience, is probably going to be doing the same. You know, if there's any way you can help, you know, please help those that are in need. So with all that being said, wanted to get into some Cybertruck news. I think it would make some sense for me to get into my news, and let me, you know, I always have something to share with everybody.
It's almost like you're crying wolf at this point. The amount of times that this is happening,
I don't even know what to do anymore. But over the 3-week break that we took and the holiday break, I was driving with my family, minding my own business, not doing anything. And guess what happens? My front motor disabled. So as everybody knows, my rear motor has gone out twice. And now my front motor was disabled. And it's funny because in my Cybertruck group, like I mentioned, that we talk all the time. One of the guys in the group, I forget which one, mentioned that he went to the service center, was talking to one of the advisors, and they actually mentioned that the front motor was on their bulletin. And what that means is it's on their radar, and it's something that now if you were to go into a service center and just mention that you want them to look at it, they will look at it and they will replace it, because it's on their radar. It's on their bulletin as they speak. And he mentioned that, and literally like days later, this happened to me. So, you know, he jinxed me, I guess. But yeah, my front motor went out. What was very disappointing and concerning for me was the fact that it went out on Christmas Eve, actually. So it happened on Christmas Eve. And that weekend, I was scheduled to go on a road trip, which actually that video came out today. I published it this morning. So if you haven't seen it, go ahead and watch that. But so I was disappointed because I'm thinking, okay, my front motor went out. It's Christmas Eve. I'm not taking it today because I'm busy. Tomorrow's Christmas. They're not open, and I'm not taking it tomorrow. So the soonest I can get out there would be on the 26th. But I'm leaving on the 27th for my road trip. And I was disappointed because I had plans to shoot this video, and, you know, I wanted to take the Cybertruck because I wanted to use full self-driving on this trip, because it would be the first road trip, long road trip, that I'll be using FSD. So I was just totally bummed. But lo and behold, I will say this. I took it in on the, actually called my Tesla service center looking for my buddy that works there that I've met through this process, and he's always helping me out. And he wasn't working on Christmas Eve. So they just told me, well, our appointment is, soonest appointment is like January 8th, which I think was yesterday, right? Oh, no, it's today. So today would have been the day that I needed to take it in. And I told him, I said, no, I can't wait. I got to just bring it in. And he goes, well, I got to let you know if you can bring it in on Thursday. And in my mind, I'm thinking, I'm just taking it in anyways. I don't care whether or not you want me there or not. I'm bringing it in. Mm-hmm. Well, I took it in on that Thursday, and they had the front motor, or the inverter, I should say. They had an inverter, and they got it done in a day. I brought it in at 8 a.m., and by 6:30, I think, it was. They called me and said, it's done. Come pick it up. Nice. So the bad news is I've had multiple inverters, motors disabled, and that's frustrating. The good news is it seems like they're on top of it now. They have stock of the parts that they need. Mm-hmm. So in the event this was to happen to you, my recommendation would be don't even make an appointment. Just go to your service center, drive there if your vehicle is operable, take it in, tell them what's going on, and ask them to just work on it ASAP. And, you know, at the worst case scenario, you'll have it back in a couple of days. So that's the good news, that they're kind of on it now. So I was really encouraged by that.
I just worry if it's like an every truck kind of thing, and it's not just the recall.
Well, speaking of recalls, look what I got in the mail.
Another one?
Another one. So, I mean, I haven't opened it. Do I open it? Do we do like a unboxing?
Unboxing of the next recall.
Yeah, I'm opening it. Okay. So let's see what this. This may be the front motor.
I would assume so, because I think that was the one. I even got one a few weeks back.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yep.
So reason for this recall on affected vehicles, a fault in the drive inverter may cause it to stop producing torque. If the inverter stops producing torque, the driver loses ability, yada, yada, yada. So that's what it was. I got this yesterday. So thanks a lot, Tesla, for sending it a week late.
But, in my inbox, I've got an email that says that my AeroCap covers are ready. I can go buy.
Hey, go pick those up.
I'm really tempted to be like, just show up, but not in the Cybertruck.
Yeah, obviously. Just say, hey, you know what?
And just show them the email. Be like, my wife's using it. I was nearby. Can I go ahead and pick them up and take them home?
I wonder if they'd give them to you. So maybe a buddy, a guy that's in the Cybertruck text chat that we're in, he went and picked his up, turned around and sold him the next day for $2,000.
So, I mean, I would put it up. I would like up on the wall or something. I mean, I've got I put up, you know, my license plates up on the bookshelf, but also I kept the broken wheel fairing from when we, you know, jumped the truck. So it's sentimental.
Yeah. I mean, why not? I mean, if you can, why not?
Yeah. Speaking of service appointments, though, I actually had the first one at the Rivian this last week.
Okay.
And that was kind of cool because they had reached out, like they're proactive to say, we have like something on the list that's, you know, we want to check on like as a proactive measure. I think they wanted to like check the 12 volt battery that was in it and maybe swap that out. But it was like total, like, you know, precautionary, nothing serious. And they're like, at your, you know, give us a good date for an appointment. And then we set up the appointment. I show up. It's all free because obviously I'm not, you know, having anything fixed, but they went ahead and swapped out what they needed to swap out with the battery, and then also did like a full inspection of the whole vehicle. While I was there, I was able to like talk to the guy and ask him any questions. It was a lot nicer than if you would go to like a, you know, mom and pop, you know, auto shop. Like it was really personal. Like they, just like with Tesla, they know you're going to be there, but it was probably like a tenth of the busyness of Tesla service centers I've been to in Austin. So obviously it's not as big, so it's more personal, but it was just nice. Gave me a $150 Uber credit. So I was able to get home and back with same Uber credit. That was nice. And then when I got back, the guy, you know, he walked me through everything. He was like, hey, you know, making sure that I understood like everything I possibly could about the vehicle, like just like certain settings, be like, okay, make sure you do this, make sure not to do that, because this could add extra wear. He was talking about how you can have the hydraulics set to dynamic, so it'll actually go up and down as you're driving at different speeds, but he actually suggested not to do that, so it doesn't wear out the inner sides of the tire a little ahead of time, as well as like just different other tips and tricks, and even notice something about like our charge port cover. how it was rubbing a certain way. Like, very minor thing, but they were able to pick up on it and be like, did you ever notice this was a thing? I never noticed because I haven't had any other Rivians, but they were able to, like, literally, like pick it apart. And they were like, yeah, if you want to get this fixed, go ahead and put in, you know, go and put a ticket. We can get it in. Even though you're the second owner, there should be, you know, grace period where we can get that fixed under warranty. So
I like that.
Overall, yeah. Really, honestly, a great experience. It's really nice to see that they, like, it gave you the impression that they cared about the vehicle, you know, like it was their own still, even, you know, it's a 2023, so almost 2 years old, but they still cared like it was theirs. So it's nice.
Yeah, I like that because there's been times where I take the Cybertruck in and I forget to mention something to them about fixing something or taking a look at something. But I always think, oh, they'll see that because it's something very obvious. And no, they don't. I go and pick it up and it's still broken or, you know, whatever it is. It's dangling there or whatever the case may be. And I'm like, I know you guys saw this. Like, why not just fix it for me? But
well, I mean, you got to think about it because Rivian has a lot more on the line to make sure that the brand is like tip top.
100%.
And always there. So it makes sense.
And that's a sad thing to think about, that if that was the reality of Tesla, if they were to say, yeah, we're already Tesla, you know, we don't need to do that. That, you know, I hope they don't think like that. I hope it's just, you know, maybe it's just the guy, you know, maybe it's just the tech that's right there being lazy or something. I would hope it's not Tesla telling them if they didn't mention it, don't fix it. So, but
could be the service center too. I know it varies between.
It really does. It really does. So Jay's in chat. He says that his rear inverter needed to be replaced, but when he took it in, they replaced both the rear and the front.
Oh, good.
So that's nice to see. Once again, that was my point, that before I even got this letter and the notice, you know, one of the guys mentioned at the service center that it was already on their bulletin. So it was already something that they would go ahead and do if you just bring up. But Jay's saying that it just happened. So that's nice. That's great. That's great to hear. He had some other things fixed, so some of the other recalls. So that's a good thing. Rick, as a matter of fact, says, Happy New Year, Chase. Your rap was a hit at King of the Hammers compound.
Oh.
So that's awesome. Even though you no longer have your Cybertruck, you're still being talked about. So
it was definitely a trendsetter. And, I shout out to the guys at Bespoke Paint Protection in Austin. Or actually, it's technically Cedar Park, Texas. But yeah, they totally were the first ones to come up with the what if idea. And if you're looking for exactly what it is, it was a large enough film that was transparent that we could actually get in rolls to actually do the panels. Because typically transparent film only will be used for tinting like headlights, so they don't come in really big rolls. But a company out of Indiana called Legend PPF, it's a fairly new company that they make rolls big enough. And they're like, all right, let's do it. So I know since then they've actually wrapped four or five in the same exact wrap. It's a Legend HTM40.
It's your wrap was, I said it all the time, it was one of the nicer wraps that I've seen. I like the clean look of it. I love the color of it. I love the fact that even though it was that smoke, but you could still see through it. And so I was always jealous that I didn't think of it first.
I mean, I love
my wrap, but
I was skeptical at first because I actually really wanted like the matte black when I saw it, and it wasn't like as dark as I was expecting. I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm gonna like it. But then the more I saw it in different lights and different color or different just scenarios, I'm like, all right, this is pretty cool. And I kept pushing. They need to make other colors. They need to like make like a blue and a red and a green that's tinted.
Yeah. That would actually look really cool. And it looks better, especially when all four wheels are up in the air. That's when the wrap just looks its best.
Right? When it's off the ground.
So, yeah, that's
when it's vertical.
For anybody that doesn't know what I'm talking about, Chase has one of the most epic Cybertruck photos that I have ever seen. And I've seen a lot of them where he jumped his Cybertruck and literally got all four wheels off the ground, did a gnarly jump, and
like 10 really times cool. too.
Yeah, really, really cool video.
It was a lot of fun. Yeah, it was funny because someone on X actually had tagged me in something because another person like jumped a truck over like a sand dune, and they were like, cue in our video because it was like he maybe got like a foot off the air, and I'm like, that's cute.
That's when your son jumps in and he goes, jump. Well, that one didn't jump.
No, seriously, anytime we see a Cybertruck, he keeps reminding me about how we jumped it. If for Christmas I did get him like a little tiny like toy Cybertruck that I found on Amazon that actually had like a dark gray look.
Okay.
It looked like a wrap too. I'm like,
nice.
So
Really, and so he's probably in the backyard jumping it, you know. Yep. So that's cool. Autoheads is in chat and he's asking a question. So the question is, when I adjust my vents air direction, I hear a loud solenoid like motor noise every time I make an adjustment. Is that normal? Is it supposed to make a noise when the airflow is adjusted? My answer would be no. That is not normal. It shouldn't make any type of noises. When I make my adjustments, I don't hear anything. So that would be something I would definitely take it into a service center and have them look at that. He also mentioned that his Tesla service has been disappointing. So maybe his service center isn't the best. But Chase, you mentioned that. And it's something that maybe is concerning, but not every service center is the same. I actually drive a little out of the way. Like if I go into my app, the service center I go to isn't the service center that the app wants me to go to. I actually drive a little bit further. It's not very far, but I drive a little bit further to go to this specific service center. And the reason why I go here is because I've been going there with all my previous Teslas for years now. And the closer service center is actually a newer one. And so I have the history with the service center I use. And so just because of that, I feel like I know them. They're very, very helpful for me with me. And, you know, I hope they don't just do it for me, even though they know about the channel and they know about the podcast. So I hope it's not any type of special treatment. I hope they give excellent service to everyone, but I feel like they give me amazing service. So every time I have an issue, they jump all over it and they try to help me out. And so I'm actually very happy with my service center.
I mean, you get the influencer white glove service.
No, you know? I don't think it's that.
All you have to do is just, you have to scream to Elon three times and you get a free Cybertruck. That's how this works.
Yeah, well, I've screamed at Elon quite a few times and I haven't got a free Cybertruck, so.
I mean, that's a good segue to what we're going to talk about with MK.
Chase, this is why.
That's exactly the opposite of what happened.
So what Chase is alluding to is a very iconic, big YouTuber. Everybody knows him. Marquise Brownlee, otherwise known as MKBHD, recently sold a Cybertruck. And him, like Chase and like Will, I guess just preferred their Rivian. And so that's his statement is the fact that he sold his Cybertruck. He didn't give anything specific other than just he prefers his R1T over the Cybertruck. So I wish we kind of knew. I would love for someone like MKBHD to provide that information because I think that's valuable. I think it's real. I think it's okay to state, hey, I got rid of my Cybertruck because of X, Y, and Z. I mean, the simple reason could be I bought it for content.
I bought
it for content. I monetized it. I squeezed every dollar out of this thing, and now I sold it. I mean, that's okay to say, in my personal opinion.
I don't know why anyone would ever do that.
but you know, it's just, yeah, I know. I've talked to some YouTubers and the crazy stuff that those guys do. But you know, to just say like he doesn't really want to dive into the reasoning, that makes it real weird. In my personal opinion, that makes it kind of suspicious, so to speak. You know, I know there's been some people on X saying, oh, Rivian's paying him or some, you know, or Elon political reasons. You know, he's getting away from Tesla. And maybe those are the reasons. But I don't know. I just feel like you could just say it. I mean, what's going to happen? You're not going to lose your subscribers. You're not going to lose views. Just say it. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. It's a car that's here. I don't expect anybody to buy anything and keep that thing forever. So it's okay.
Yeah. I joke that the FSD probably didn't drive fast enough in the school zones, but what do I know?
Well, you know, and then Jay's in chat and he actually made a good point. Apparently Elon unfollowed him.
Yes. That was the fallout from this. So yeah, especially I think because, you know, it went around online and then he also mentioned, you know, I like Rivian better, and then I think Elon was like, all right, cool.
So yeah, I don't know. I mean, is Elon that petty? You know, I mean, no, maybe,
but
But it's just, I don't know. Maybe Elon knows something that we don't know. But either way, he sold his Cybertruck. So, you know, he likes his Rivian. I don't blame him. Rivian is a beautiful car. And if the Rivian R1T works for him, then fantastic. So, yeah.
And I think even then, like, say I would buy a Cybertruck right now and now is when I was starting, I probably would still get into a Cybertruck because it's starting to come down where it's getting better and better price wise.
Yes.
And now I'm just waiting to see what the used market is going to have.
Yeah. So that's another great segue. So the Cybertruck, there's a lot of great benefits right now. So if there's anybody that's been on the fence and sitting there going, hey, I don't know if I want to pull the trigger, I think right now is a great time. Mm-hmm. Number one, the Cybertruck now qualifies for the $7,500 federal tax rebate. So that's a great incentive, mm-hmm. right? That's something that, you know, I'm not going to get with my Cybertruck.
Right.
And so that helps. You know, we already know Foundation Series is no more. So you're not paying $100,000 for all-wheel drive. You're paying $80,000 mm-hmm. or a little less than that. And then you're getting the $7,500 rebate. So that helps big time. Or for those that sit there and say, hey, you know what? I kind of want the Foundation Series badging. Or if they see more value in lifetime of ownership of supercharging, then that's mm-hmm. something that you could take advantage of as well. Something that the promotion that they're running right now is for customers who purchase a new Cybertruck Foundation Series are eligible for free supercharging during your ownership of the vehicle. Orders must be placed on or after December 27th, 2024, which is already passed. So yeah, if you were to go into Tesla's website, which I already have pulled up here, and you want to see if there's any Foundation Series available in your area, and there's a few. These right here are not Foundation Series, but here's one right here. So you could mm-hmm. see down at the bottom where it says free supercharging. You could see this one doesn't have that. This is a Cyber Beast. Or so you can sit there and go, hey, you know what? I'm willing to spend the money. I don't care about the Cyber Beast. I'd rather have the free supercharging. You can go ahead and do so if that makes sense for you, because that could be a huge, huge savings over the life of owning your Cybertruck. So
totally.
There's a lot of incentives right now. And I think that's something that is needed, because one thing that they're talking about, and they've shared their delivery numbers, and apparently the Cybertruck is struggling. They're struggling to sell them. I believe it says down here that they've only sold, based on how Model S and Model X sales have been tracking, we estimate that Tesla delivered between 9 to 12,000 Cybertrucks in Q4. Mm-hmm. That is well below the numbers I think Elon or a lot of Tesla enthusiasts were expecting.
And below the amount of VINs that we have out there.
100%.
20,000-30,000 now, but still, yeah, there's a lot sitting in lots. And I could see it too, where, you know, it's enough time where the used market is starting to catch up, where, you know, even our truck sold, I believe, for 89, because that was the last it was listed for. And then, yeah, you're still getting, you know, the benefits of Foundation Series benefits today, but at least I think benefits that are still worth it, like FSD and all that. But I think also, this might be a move from Tesla's part to also combat some of the resales of the Foundation Series. Like, they're giving a little extra incentive to try to sweeten the deal for them to go buy a brand new Foundation Series, pay the premium, versus getting one used that already has everything ready to go.
And I remember I broke down on one of the podcasts before we took our break. Mm-hmm. I wanted to break down the cost of Foundation Series and try to, you know, because that's something that we talked about in the early days of, like, what's the value there? They're mm-hmm. upcharging $20,000, but is it true dollar for dollar value, or is it a great deal or is it not a great deal? And I think I came out with like 16,000 and change is everything that you're getting. Mm-hmm. But if you're getting that $16,000 or so, plus lifetime for ownership of that vehicle, for that Cybertruck, mm-hmm. supercharging, I mean, once again, if you can afford it, I think that's amazing value. Yeah.
especially if you're living in an apartment or someplace where you know you're not going to have dedicated charging in your home, that's a game changer. Because I know one of the trucks I know here in Austin, guy that also rents it on Zero, he lives in an apartment. So he basically, anytime he has a booking, has to go run over to the supercharger, fill it up.
Yeah.
And that's an extra, you know, 30, 40 bucks almost that gets taken out of that rental every time.
Well, I know I've mentioned in a past episode that right now I have free supercharging on my Cybertruck. I have 12 months of free supercharging due to delays and delays. Mm-hmm. I still don't have my PowerShare up and running. I have it all installed. I've paid for it for the installation. It's in my garage, but it's not operable. And so a few months ago, Tesla reached out to me and said, hey, we're going to give you 12 months of free supercharging because of the delays. So I have that now. And I mean, I've probably, since I've received that free supercharging, I've probably charged at home maybe like 3 or 4 times. I charge almost exclusively at a supercharger because why not? It's free. I got to take advantage of that, right? So,
plus you guys pay a lot of money for electricity up there, right?
Oh yeah, 100%. That's what I'm saying. It makes no sense. You know, my kid's son the other day, I told him, I said, we were driving home and I go, hey, let's stop at the supercharger. I need a charge. He goes, why? We could just charge at home. And I'm like, no, I'm not charging at home. I'm going to the supercharger. We're going to drive right by it. Why not just stop and charge? So I do that. Autoheads, it did mention that the VINs are over 50,000 now. He says that his VIN is in the 40,000 range. 48,000, I'm sorry. 48,000. So yeah, they're up there.
I wonder what they're at sold total then. If Q4 only did like 10,000. Man. There's a lot in lots then.
Yeah, I think there's a lot in the lots. So, and we've seen that. So, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I think everyone's catching up and wising up to, you know, the upcharge and just kind of making a better financial decision rather than jumping into it.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way you can get into it. Now you have options, which I'm cool with because, like I said, I'm really watching the used market pretty heavily. Like, I know these are going to come down even further, and that's the only way that they're going to really move the inventory the way they need to, is dropping the price.
Yeah, I was talking to one of the dads on my son's basketball team, and he was mentioning how he's interested in buying a Cybertruck, but he wants to wait, you know, kind of wait to the end of this year to see where the market's at. And I actually mentioned to him, I said, I think that's, you know, if you're willing to wait, I think that's not 100%. A bad idea. Because something that you always bring up, Chase, that, you know, what is the used market going to look like? You know, are you going to be able to maybe in the late summer months or maybe even sooner pick up a Cybertruck for mid to high 50s? I don't know, maybe low 60s. And at that point, I think that's a steal, right?
Yeah.
So not sure if they'll get that low that this quick, but you never know.
Sure. Yeah, we talked about how miles are really not that big of a deal on these.
It doesn't
EVs,
matter. So it's,
that's the time to take advantage is now before the market catches on to, okay, EVs are not following the same, you know, metrics that used cars do.
So let's do a little exercise since you brought that up. It's just something impromptu. If you were buying a gas vehicle, right? Mm-hmm. What would be the like mileage that you would be looking for? You're buying a used one. So you're buying a used gas vehicle and you're sitting there and you're going, hey, you know what? Mm-hmm. I want my mileage to be in this range. What would you be looking at?
I would be comfortable around like 50,000, like assuming I'm going to put about 50,000 on it. And then right up to that 100,000 mile like mark is probably where I'd be comfortable with. Just basically because you got to outweigh the price to usability. You're probably going to buy it for more than it's worth and you're probably going to lose money on it at the end of that term. So it's really just kind of like buy something you can't afford. That's kind of how I would approach it.
So I totally agree with you. It's funny because you use the 50,000 and 100,000, those numbers, and those are the numbers where I was like, you know, once you get to that 100,000 mile mark, you're kind of like, okay, I'm kind of towards the end of owning this vehicle. I know there's plenty of cars that go well over the 100,000. So, you know, it's all based on the vehicle. But that 50,000 is probably around the range. If you could get lower than that, fantastic. Maybe a little bit higher than that, but around that 50,000 is you feel comfortable with. So then when it comes to EVs, how do you feel about that? Where would you be with that? If you were looking at a used Cybertruck and it had 75,000 miles.
Oh, yeah. I mean, anything under 100,000 on an EV, I wouldn't even bat an eye on it. The thing is that I feel like with an EV, you could easily buy one at 100,000 and still get another 100,000 out of it.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Pretty reliably.
Yeah, I think
it lowers that kind of risk. Whereas an ICE vehicle, you have that risk of like, okay, maybe the transmission or the engine's going to go up between 100 and 200,000, depending on the make and model. But with an EV, you're really only losing, you know, battery charge. It's like, oh, well, shoot, I can't charge up to 100%, but I can still charge to 90.
Yeah.
You know, it's worth it.
And I think we talked about that a few weeks ago, right? That how the degradation of the batteries on EVs is so minimal now, and it's getting so much better that it's almost irrelevant at this point.
Yeah, I think people are just barely starting to get used to that, because you can still, I probably could pull over right now, you can find a used Model 3 that's like still 2022 that probably has about 60,000 miles on it for dirt cheap at the moment.
100%.
I'll find one, but
yeah, no, I what was it? Hertz was selling a bunch of them for like $15,000-$16,000.
Yeah.
And to me, that's crazy. I mean, that's a steal.
Yeah. I mean, that's where we really start to get like the majority of people into EVs. Like, yeah, 2022 Model 3, 21,000 right now.
Is that on Tesla's website or just online?
This is on Edmunds.
Okay.
So yeah, it's off market. And that one, so 22,000 for Model 3 that has 84,000 miles on
it. Yeah.
That's an easy deal.
I wouldn't be concerned about it. I think the only concern would be with the Cybertruck would be the warranty. Once you get past 50,000 miles, your warranty's gone. So that would be the only concern, just because it's the first gen. We know of all these issues. We know of some of the problems that it's had. You don't want to, like Tesla Tino, right? He was in the podcast, I think the last episode. He was in chat talking to people. Mm-hmm. And I think he has 75,000 miles on his Cybertruck, which is fine. Other than the fact that the first thing I thought of is what happens when one of these, you know, issues occurs, you know, how does that get handled, you know?
Right.
So that would be the only concern. But yeah, if you're talking about a Model 3, Model Y, even an S or an X, I mean, they're kind of dialed in at this point. Especially, I think the Model Ys. I mean, those things they're pumping them out so much that they got them pretty much dialed in to where,
right?
I wouldn't be too concerned.
Because the thing is that otherwise you're looking at, I mean, like maybe a Toyota or something, but you're still looking at used vehicles to get you down to that $20,000 mark. Like, you're not going to find anything that new for that cheap. I think, yeah, it's just we haven't had the market catch up to it. But either way, it's exciting now for people that are, you know, wanting to get into it. It's probably the best time ever in the last decade to, not even decade, because I haven't been around that long. In the last four or five years to get into an EV right now.
100%. I'm trying to convince one of my buddies to get an EV, and he's very hesitant, but he's never owned an EV, so I think that's the concern. But yeah. I've been trying to, you know, I've been going at him, trying to get him to buy one. So we'll see. I actually brought up to him the Ford Lightning. Remember that lease deal we came across?
I was very close. I mean, I was very close to jumping on it. I think the only thing that I was hesitating on is I know that the dealership wouldn't give me what I really needed out of the Rivian right now to kind of not have to come out of pocket. And it was a little bit more out of pocket than I really would want to, mainly because it was kind of an idea to like have an EV truck, but also save money. And I didn't want that money saved to just getting eaten up by, oh, I had to put more money down. So definitely interesting. Like I said, it was very tempting because I think Ford's feeling the same issue. I think they bit off more than they can chew, and they're trying to offload those Lightnings, which are still, you know, a decent EV. If you can get it for the right price, get them for like 50,000. Same thing.
Yeah.
It's a great truck. It's still Ford.
Autoheads is in chat. He had a question. He goes, if we have a front or rear motor go, is that covered under the drive unit 150,000 warranty?
Yes, I would say
yeah. I don't know that 100%, but I would say so, right? That's part of the drive unit. That's part of all that, you know, inner workings, so to speak. So I would say yes. I don't think that's the 50,000 mile warranty is more I would just say like lights and, you know, maybe anything the infotainment system or, you know, things like along those lines, you know, the motor that's in the seats, you know, he's talking about the air conditioning, how that was giving him some weird noises. That would be all that. And the inverters, I would believe I'd put money on that. That's part of the drive unit. So that would be covered under that.
I assume so. I feel bad for whoever brought our truck because 100% that's going to happen in the next few months. And we honestly didn't even know we were part of the recall until after we sold it. So it's really not
Chase,
our fault.
Chase, sorry to cut you off. I don't feel bad for who bought your truck. They got a badass wrap. They have a light bar. They have brand new wheels.
Falcon tires. Brand new TST tires. Sport wheels. Yeah.
Did you give them the extra tires?
No, I ended up selling those. So I sold those to like locals that I know around here. And I was like, hey, do you want a spare tire? So I sold all of them for spares.
Okay, so good. But I mean, you gave them, they have my California.
You should have signed it somehow.
I should have put, no, you know what I should have done? I should have put my sticker. I have stickers. I should have put a sticker on the inside of it.
So like when they took it off, because that never would have popped up. The sticker would have came off. Yeah.
I didn't think. Either way. So...
yeah, but needless to say, I was going to break up that if it did happen to them, they bought it used, it's still covered.
It's covered.
You know,
it's 100% covered.
12,000 miles on it.
I was just going to ask, what was the mileage on it?
Yeah, I think 12, 13.
I just surpassed 17,000 miles.
Nice. Well, I mean, it took a while, but yeah. you're not driving up to the Arctic.
No, I'm not driving up to the Arctic. You know, it's funny. Funny story. So on this trip, when I was coming back, I actually mentioned it in my video, the video that I released today, my road trip. I was at a supercharger. A gentleman approached me, and he actually thought it was dark. It was at night. So he actually thought I was Teslatino. So he walked up. Not that when he saw me, he thought I was Teslatino. Oh, okay. But when he approached my vehicle, he thought it was Teslatino's vehicle. So So he approached me. I put my window down, and then he goes, "Did you go to the Arctic?" And I go, "No, that you got the wrong Hispanic guy." And so he goes, "No." He goes, "I recognize you though." So, anyways, it came about that he's apparently has watched every video that I've ever put out. So
he probably saw you in an advertisement. I keep getting all these cyber gear advertisements pop up through my social media.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. It's because you keep talking about me and your, you know, devices in your home and your phones are listening.
I keep wanting these wheel or the seat covers. So I keep talking about it.
Yeah. So he was talking to me and I forget where I was going with this, but nonetheless, one thing that I mentioned in my video is how full self-driving, I want to talk about that as well. Mm-hmm. Full self-driving. So when I put out full self-driving video months ago, when it first got released for the Cybertruck, I mentioned to you guys that it was hugging the left lane and even veering off into the left lane. I've since calibrated the cameras because I had somebody suggest that to me. And then on this trip, I enabled it, still doing this. Mm. Coming back, I recalibrated the cameras and then tested again. And actually the footage in my video is once I recalibrated it a second time and still, it's still doing it to me. So I don't know. I think I'm going to have to take it into the service center to figure this out. I don't know what's going on with mine.
Or you don't have V13 at all, right? Not yet. Cause that's not out.
Yeah.
You do. Okay. Yeah. I was thinking it might've been 12.55 still.
No, I have 13 and there's even been, I think an update to 13.
Okay.
That's so weird. It's, I have the latest software and it just, for whatever reason, it does that to me. But overall, you know, I'm sure Jay, I think, can attest to this because I think he's done some road trips with his Cybertruck and using full self-driving. It's fantastic. You know, I mean, the fatigue, I guess you could say, right, is so much less. I mean, it's fantastic to be able to drive that big of a car, comfortable, spacious, and have it full self-driving, and it's doing a lot of the heavy lifting for myself. And I just had to keep watching that because it would kind of hug the left lane, and if there's a car coming or something, I would have to kind of reposition it. But overall, I was happy with it. I just need to get that thing fixed. Because
have you played with the different driving modes of like chill versus the chill, not chill
stuff? So chill One thing I noticed is with chill, you kind of just stay in the lane that you're in and it drives a little slower. When you go to standard, it'll change lanes to kind of get around vehicles. Mm-hmm. And then when I think it's called aggressive, when you're in aggressive, it'll just kind of like go all over the place. You know, it's safe, but it just, it's more aggressive.
MKBHD mode.
Yeah, exactly. But that would be in a Rivian. So.
Talking about how Elon is petty or not. If he was petty, he would rename that mode.
He would.
His tag. But yeah, that was actually really impressed me. I think it was on standard when I tried it out, but I was like, man, this is just like naturally like getting onto the highway, you know, overtaking vehicles when it needed to, and you know, keep up with the pace of traffic and keep the speed limit, like, or even over the speed limit too if you set it there. But super impressed. I still don't know if I would like fork out extra money just to have FSD with the Cybertruck. But yeah, I definitely see the value there.
That's where I went into justifying a lot of the Foundation series is I'm getting, because I agree with you. If I was buying a Cybertruck today, I wouldn't get full self-driving. At least I wouldn't pay for it initially.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. And do I use it enough? One thing I will say is with the Cybertruck and with version 13, I use it a lot more than I thought I would be using it. I use it a lot more in just city driving. It works. Other than this issue of hugging. And I noticed that only really happens on the freeway or on the highway.
Interesting.
Doesn't happen in city driving. So I don't know why that is, but somebody mentioned in the comment of my video from today that maybe at higher speeds, kind of has a hard time controlling the Cybertruck. He also mentioned maybe because I have the bigger tires and they pop out a little bit more. It seems like it's hugging. And it's hugging more. And Autoheads right now in chat mentioned his does the same thing. So I'm not the only crazy one. That gentleman that stopped me at the supercharger and thought I was Teslatino because I look just like him. he mentioned that his Cybertruck does the same thing as well. So
okay,
because I really started thinking I was crazy.
Well, like you had my Cybertruck group. Maybe there's something that didn't get fixed right or something.
I don't know. I need to take it into Tesla and have them look at it. But
if it sounds like it's more like a widespread software issue, then that's what I'm thinking. Truck.
That's what I'm thinking. I don't think that's what I was going to mention is that in the Cybertruck group that I'm in, I mentioned it to all the guys and every single one of them was like, it doesn't happen to me. And so I'm going, what the heck? Why is this happening to me? Like, is it just a me thing? Mm-hmm. But literally when I was on that trip and I mentioned it to that gentleman, he goes, no, it happens to me too. And I'm like, okay, I'm not going crazy then. And then Autoheads right now is saying that it happened to him. And then I got a comment from my video today. Someone mm-hmm. said that it happens to them as well. So,
there you go.
I think it's just a software thing. So hopefully it gets fixed. If not, then I'm going to go ahead and take it into service and talk. But like I said, it's not a huge deal because I'm paying attention when I'm driving. So even when it's on, I'm not like falling asleep. Nor will the truck let me.
Right.
So I'm paying attention. I'm able to fix it or whatever. But,
that's a perfect segue for another topic that happened over the break because it opened up a lot of conspiracy theories for the events that happened in Vegas.
Yep.
Specifically around full self-driving and even like the summon feature. Because I was like, obviously, everyone hopefully has heard about what happened in Las Vegas. Obviously, there was Matthew Leibelsberger, that you know, very well decorated veteran, exploded the truck in front of Trump Tower.
Yeah.
There was so many questions around it because of the information that we were given, because of just the situation and some information we're getting from officials that's not lining up with the, you know, the facts that we have in front of us. So just a lot of weird stuff. But one of the conspiracies was around, well, what if, like, you know, someone did this to him and just let the truck drive itself to the tower and then explode remotely or something like that. Now, that obviously is not even possible. Those of you who've used full self-driving in the Cybertruck, you know that you have to be, you know, alive and conscious to drive it. And even I've had other people, like, confirm that even if you had, you know, sunglasses on, I think it the older version of self-driving, or one of the versions, will actually default to like head tracking, but still I don't think it would allow you to useful self-driving if you weren't somewhat alive. Kind of dispelling the idea that, you know, whoever did this could have done like a Weekend at Bernie's type of deal where, you know, it's not an alive person driving the truck. But I don't think that was the case. And also don't think that summon was used, because that was my other theory, that maybe something nefarious was done in the parking lot and then used summon to have it drive itself up to the front door. But that's not even available for Cybertruck yet still, which is another kind of pain point that we've been waiting for a long time.
And I should have had it queued up, but I don't know if you saw, there was a, let me see if I can find it. All the security measures that they now have at Trump Tower in.
Yeah. And they're like checking every vehicle. I think it was Josh West went out there because CES.
That's exactly what I'm trying to pull up here.
CES is going on right now, which is out in Vegas. So a lot of people are heading out to Vegas with their Cybertrucks, which is kind of, you know, timely. But yeah, he was able to go by. And this is, I think, the day or two after it happened.
Yeah,
is when he was here, because he showed up to Vegas a little early. And you can see, you know, the no broken windows, the, you know, the big chandeliers, they're not broken. You really just see like a, you know, some paneling or something up on the roof that fell off. But it really wasn't, I don't know how to put this. It really wasn't like a blast that was meant to do damage. It doesn't seem like.
Yeah, it didn't. You can say that, and or you can say that the Cybertruck helped contain it.
Yeah, I think both are valid.
But I think it was a little bit of both. I think from that video that I was sharing just a little while ago, let me pull that one up again. The blast. Let me see if I could find it.
And
here we go.
Needless to say, the battery never caught fire, because, oh my God, I heard so many people the day of, they're like, did you hear that? You know, even Associated Press were like, oh, Cybertruck caught fire and then exploded. I'm like, you motherfucker.
No, it was not the battery. I mean, that was still a fairly big blast, but you could see that it was fireworks. There was a lot of fireworks back there of some sort.
Fireworks and gasoline and fuel came full, like anything you can get from, you know, highway fireworks stands and your local, like, you know, Academy sports store.
It was a decent blast. The interesting part though was the photos of the Cybertruck afterwards. Let me pull that up.
The FBI made it a convertible.
Exactly. You can see here. I mean, obviously, yeah, they kind of started taking it apart, but you can see that the paneling looks like you can take it off and go put it on another vehicle. You know, if somebody was missing a fender or something, you can take it off of this Cybertruck.
Yeah. The tires even message
are unaffected.
Yeah, the tires never popped. I mean, it really wasn't like a hot fire either. Like, it's, no. It was, and that was kind of the issue. A lot of people were like, oh, why is his like ID and all this not completely burned up? And it's like, well, it wasn't like an inferno. Like, as soon as the fire went off, there's also sprinklers over the awning of the valet area. So those went off right away. And a lot of factors did help out. But yeah, I think overall, like, this is probably the worst possible vehicle you could pick if you wanted to make like an effective like vehicle like bomb, because of its structural integrity. Like, it's, you would have to have like exponentially a lot more explosives than what he had to make this thing do damage.
100%. You know, 100%. And I don't know if it was just a lack of knowledge on his part of if he was trying to do more damage and didn't set it up the right way.
I think he was just trying to make a splash.
Yeah, or if he was just trying to get in the news, so to speak. You know, so
this is the only joke that I'll make about it, because, you know, God rest his soul, because obviously mental health is really bad. But
of course,
I will say, if he would have rented the Cyber Beast, I don't think this would have happened, because if he would have drove the Cyber Beast compared to the dual motor, you know, he would have rethink his whole entire life. Like, it would have been life changing. I swear, it is that fun.
The Cyber Beast is extremely fun. Extremely fun. And I've always mentioned to people that when people have asked me, oh, well, why didn't you get the Cyber Beast? Why did you get the all-wheel drive? Number one reason for that was because when I received the email to configure, it was way earlier than I thought that I would get that email.
Same.
And so all that was available at that time was all-wheel drive. if I elected for the Cyber Beast, it was supposedly supposed to be months, and I didn't mm-hmm. want to wait. I just wanted the Cybertruck, and I want it now. Yeah. So that's the number one reason. Number two reason that I tell people is I'm not a speed demon. I'm not a young kid anymore where I'm trying to go fast. I can appreciate the speed and the torque, and I could really appreciate it. I would love to have it, but I don't need it. Mm-hmm. All-wheel drive is plenty fast for me, has plenty of power. I'm fine with that. I said all that to most people until I actually drove one and I got behind the wheel of one, or I've experienced the Cyber Beast. And then I went, man, I wish I had this. Man, knowing what I know now, I would have waited those extra 2-3 months to get a mm-hmm. Cyber Beast. So
yeah,
what are you going to do now?
Same thing happened to us. It was like, all right, I can have one today or wait 4 months. And really what was happening at that time, knowing in hindsight, they were giving them exclusively to the employees at that early days. Like if you were an employee, you could go buy one, you know, at cost, but you could get, you know, in the line essentially first for a Cyber Beast.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the first person that I knew that took delivery of a Cyber Beast was David Nguyen. He's on X and Twitter, Twitter is X, but IG's on YouTube, all that. And I think he got his, and I would have to confirm with him, I think he got his about 2.5 months, maybe 3 months after I took delivery of mine. Mm-hmm. So not that big of a wait, but
yeah,
like I said, at that time, I didn't want to wait a day longer than I needed to. So,
well, part of our plan was scarcity. Scarcity in the market was a huge driving factor of why we wanted to get in early, because that's when, you know, they were renting for $1,000 a day.
LJ's in chat. He actually makes a really good point. And this would probably be this. I lied. Number one would be I couldn't wait. I just wanted a Cybertruck. Number two reason was I didn't want any range loss. I wanted to get as much range as possible because
with towing and all that.
Right.
Yeah.
And so he mentioned that right now in chat that he didn't do the Beast because of the range and late delivery date. So yeah, he's 100% right. Range is number two. And then number three would be, I don't need the speed. I don't need that extra power.
But that's a good point. I totally forgot that there was a range degradation, because until I'm thinking about it now, when we rented the Cyber Beast for the holidays, like I do remember like, wait a minute, this range is lower than I remembered it to be.
Yeah.
But that's probably why.
Yeah, 100%. But I will say this. My good friend Dennis owns a Cyber Beast. I probably shouldn't say that because if Nancy is watching this, his wife, she would be upset because it's her Cyber Beast. It's not his. She gets upset because she says he's always stealing it from her. But he has a Cyber Beast, or they have a Cyber Beast, but they have the all-season tires. And I believe they're getting somewhere around like 350 or 360 miles on a full charge. Hmm.
Yeah, that's huge. That's
a big difference. Yeah, so, you know, once again, in hindsight, then the range doesn't really matter. But, you know, what are you going to do? But I'm just trying to convince myself to get rid of mine and go get a Cyber Beast, okay? Like, I'm getting rid of all my excuses.
I mean, the used ones now are about 100K. So, yeah, you can... And yeah. They're not 130 anymore, so...
No, definitely not.
It is possible, but... Yeah, and the thing is, too, like, when we got the Rivian R1S, we went it up. Ended up with one with a large battery, so really the range is like 330. Like it's not even a thought.
Now, Rivian, you can get up to like 400, right, or above 400 miles.
They do have a bigger battery, but I'm not sure. Yeah, I think that the idea is that you can get up to those higher ranges, but it's only using like their conserved mode.
Yeah, I can't wait till the day comes where like 500 miles is just the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And I know I get a lot of comments. I get a lot of people when I say stuff like that, they go, who needs 500 miles? Well, I mean, did a 900 plus mile road trip and I had to stop, I think like 4 times each way. Like I wish I had 500 miles on a full charge, you know? So that's crazy to me that people like don't want that. Like, no, I want that. So
yeah, I think that'll
LJ's
come with
in chat saying that he does a lot of family trips. I mean, I'm sure LJ would love to have 500 miles, you know, so I don't see the big
deal.
We'll
get there. I think really what's going to come is, you know, those you've seen the like the flat battery kind of technology, like finding ways to like compact more, you know, battery into the same amount of space. I think it'll get there.
Well, I'm going to give a little tease. That's something that I'm working on. Not 100% sure if it's going to work. but I'm working on something with a company to try to alleviate some of this range issue, having a way to possibly charge your Cybertruck anywhere you want. So that's all I'm going to say.
It's not a segue to the thing you wanted to talk about, is it?
Well, that is a segue to the thing I wanted to talk about.
Because that's the only thing I've heard of outside of actually... we talked about the Scout. Like the Scout truck, how they're touting somewhat of a
generator.
Gas generator that's attached to it.
No, I'm working... I'll just kind of give you a little bit more information. I'm working... I'm talking to. I'm not working yet. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to a company about some type of solar system, I guess you could call it, with like a battery bank, to trying to figure something out. Cool. Not sure if it's going to get anywhere. Not sure if I'm ever going to make any content on it, but we're talking. Hopefully we're able to do something. But yes, as a segue, it goes into, I would say, the wrap of the week for us this week, but also a solution to battery anxiety, I guess you could say. So CES, Chase mentioned CES is happening now. And next week, I think, is going to be a fun week because we're going to be able to talk about all the cool things that are coming out of CES. And this is one of them. And what that is there's this company that's making, as you can see here, let me kind of slow that down. So there's a battery bank right here. So this is a battery here that is in the back of the Cybertruck. And then this wrap here is actually solar panels. So
kudos for actually giving it a wrap and a look rather than just making it look like solar panels.
Exactly. So as you can see here, it's just a solar panel with the design on it. And they're wrapping the Cybertruck with it. And they have this battery that's in the back. And you're able to... It's actually, from what they described in the video, it's actually hardwired into the Cybertruck to where it's actively charging the Cybertruck as it's gaining solar energy. This wrap and the whole system cost $10,000, which I think is actually...
That's a great price.
A great deal. Because if you think about it, a wrap is going to cost you somewhere between $2,000 to $5,000 or $6,000, depending on the wrap, the company, the brand, the material. So if you're already halfway there just for the wrap, and then you're going to tell me that you're going to give me solar panels and a battery system that's going to help charge my car while it's just sitting anywhere, I'm in. And especially when you're talking about the range extender, and that's going to cost roughly estimated $16,000. I'd rather pay 10 and have this, and everywhere I go, it's just charging and giving my battery juice. I do this, especially for me, who I go where I go camping. I'm out in the middle of nowhere. If this is going to help me, I'm all about it.
I like it. The first thing that's coming to mind, though, I don't know if it shows in the video anywhere. What they don't do anything about the tonneau cover or the back side of it, do they?
No.
It's just the tailgate that's wrapped and the sides in the front.
But you know what I can do? Here's my friend Taluk, and he's at CES. He actually did a little video on this, but here's kind of the wrap, a little bit better look at it. I can ask him.
I would, because my thing is that the only issue, and even Elon has mentioned this, that, you know, because people, we covered another company that had like a solar panel, like just folds out when you're parked, that you can put on a Model 3, and then you have like, all right, your solar panel charging while you're parked there. But the thing with the Cybertruck is that it's obviously big and boxy, but you have a lot of flat surfaces. The biggest one is, you know, that apex from the top windshield all the way down to the back of the tonneau. Like, it would be nice to at least have an add-on option with this that allows you to, like, fold out something that covers that entire area as well. Even maybe while you're driving, like, that would be even better.
So that's, you're pulling it out of me, Chase.
We haven't discussed this before, Ian, by the way. For
no,
we have watched
it. This is the first time.
These segues happen naturally.
Yeah.
Believe it or
really
not.
Do. We're just good like that. You know, we're seasoned vets here. But no. So that the company I'm talking to, they make these flexible solar panels. And anybody that knows my Cybertruck, I have the Cybertruck Co. bed rack on my Cybertruck, and then I have a rooftop tent back there. So the intent for me is to put some of these solar panels on top. So mm-hmm. what's the issue with the tonneau? It rolls, right? It goes yeah. into the, it rolls up and it goes into, it hides away. So the concern is there enough room to put these type of, you know, flexible solar panels on the tonneau fixed to it? Because is it going to be able to roll up? There's right. going to be some, possibly some type of issue, right? So I don't have that issue because if I was to put it on my tonneau, it's not going to get any sun anyways. Mm-hmm. So I want to put these panels on top of my rack where sun is always beaming. So that's kind of my idea. But I'll tell you this, I love this idea. I love mm-hmm. the idea of wrapping the Cybertruck with this wrap that's solar yeah. panels and this whole system. So I'm actually really, really excited about this. I'm probably going to reach out to them. I want to talk to them. I want to get a little bit more information. I'm sure this probably a prototype. I don't think this is out yet, but I'm going to try to get more information. And once I have that information, I'm going to share that with everybody. But this is cool. I really like it.
Tell them they need to go to their local service center and pick up their aero caps, or I'll sell them.
I was just going
to
say,
I'll sell them to them for about 10,000. It'll there be a great deal.
Or what you do is say, hey, you guys want to do a brand deal with
free solar wrap cyber truck for wheel aero covers.
Yeah. You know, we could work something out. So, but yeah, I thought that was really mm-hmm. cool. That is, I guess, our wrap of the week because yeah. it's a wrap and it's cool talking point with the.
It's cool because I feel like even like off, like what do they call it? Overlanding has been really super big for the longest time. I think
yeah.
now is really where we're starting to see, you know, the EVs getting into that overlanding kind of market. And that's 100%. Really, really cool to see.
There's
tons of fun stuff there.
Yeah, that's kind of where my channel is going. My problem is I don't have enough time to do as many trips as I would want to, but I'm getting there. I'm getting
the content.
Last thing before we go, I want to talk about, you know, a segment that we haven't been consistent with lately, but it's the what were they thinking? And this one is just, it's crazy to me, but let me share it with you guys. So somebody shared their vehicle, their Cybertruck was parked at an airport. I forget which airport this was. But was parked at an airport. When they got back to their Cybertruck, they, you know, obviously had the notification that there was activity, sentry activity around their vehicle. They checked the cameras and they seen a woman doing something to their truck. So let me show you what she did. So she wrote "idiot" on the back of his Cybertruck. I'm not sure if he's the idiot for driving a Cybertruck or she's the idiot who's technically like vandalizing, touching somebody else's property, riding something on somebody's car. Just keep walking. You don't like the truck. You can look at it and go, oh, I don't like that truck and just keep going. I don't understand people. I don't understand.
This kind of looks like Austin's airport.
It could be.
Yeah,
it could be, but I don't get this. It's what were you thinking? I don't understand it. I got a comment today from somebody that I don't understand people sometimes, but you know, what are you going to do? So
yeah,
this, I wanted to share it because I wanted to really get her face in front of everybody. So there she is.
She got what she wanted. You're on the internet. Good job.
There she is. So
yeah, but it's funny. It's like, I don't know. Everyone wants to demonize the thing and then get on the same page and feel like they're a part of a team because haha, it's a Cybertruck. You know, it's sad, but
I just don't get it.
In other news, we didn't cover Kim Kardashian. Now, so I know
I was saving that for Will.
I know Will's out, but he did mention that
Will's our resident Kim K,
which
celebrity, I don't even know what you would call it, news person. He knows all the celebrity gossip. Anybody that doesn't know Will has worked in the film industry for many, many, many years. So he has an inside track with all the celebrities. And so whenever there's anything to do with celebrity news and Cybertruck or Tesla, we let Will have at it.
So I'm actually kind of disappointed. I'll tell Will this when he's back. It wasn't Kim K that came out. Because the news was that it wasn't Kim K. It was actually Kourtney Kardashian.
Okay.
Now we branched on to caring about another Kardashian. Recently has come out as autosexual at 45 years old. What does that mean? It means that they, I guess, quote unquote, turns herself on. So whatever you want to call that.
I love.
Now, I'm waiting now for
breaking news on Keep On Cybertrucking.
If Courtney,
did you say Courtney? Courtney Kardashian.
But if Kim now comes out as cybersexual, then we know this is all an inside job. Like, this is all a part of it.
Well, yes, Kim Kardashian does have a relationship with Optimus, so I'm sure there's something going on there. So, but that's all I have, Chase. I want to thank everybody for joining us this week. Thank you guys for being patient with us, for taking the last 3 weeks off. But we're back, and we're excited to be back. I was actually very, very excited for today's episode. Hopefully next week we can have Will back. That's the plan. So I know he was disappointed he couldn't join us tonight, but it's not the same without him. So hopefully we have him back next week. Appreciate everybody who joined us this week in chat. Jay, Bill, Autoheads, LJ, Hugo, who else? Rick, Bill, everybody. If I missed you, I'm sorry, but we appreciate all of you guys. Thank you guys for coming in. You guys are usually here every week. So thank you guys. And we'll see you guys next week.
If you're in LA, stay safe. Be careful.
100%. Stay safe.